podcast of the Game Nashville Sports Network.
What a great song.
How do you think the barking sounded on radio?
Pretty good.
Was that bad radio?
No, this is great radio.
Should we not have done that?
No, it's okay. Welcome into Ring Knowers on 102.5 The Game. I'm your host, Connor Newton. Look who's back.
I am back.
Back from Bristol.
I am back from a two-day nightmare known as the Speedway Classic. It was fun, but at the same time, it was really annoying having to stay there another day. But I am very thankful that I was able to stay there another day because originally I was supposed to stay in Knoxville. I ended up staying in Kingsport. So, yeah, anyway, it worked out.
Well, are you petitioning WrestleMania in Bristol now?
No,
is that what you're doing?
Not. I can barely see for baseball. You wouldn't be able to see anything for wrestling. That would be a terrible idea, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, some of these people go to SummerSlam and sit in the very high nosebleeds.
Oh, which, you mean like I did for the Royal Rumble?
Credit,
well, that wasn't awful because that was like right where the stage was. At least credit to you.
I mean, I'm jealous. I would have wanted to be there, but
well, we know how it ended, unfortunately.
Well.
Thanks, Michael Hayes.
Oh, I was talking about SummerSlam.
Oh, I thought you were still talking about. I thought you were still talking about the Royal Rumble, where you're like, oh, I would have wanted. Well, you probably would have wanted to go to the Royal Rumble too. But either any of those stadium shows, I feel like it's more about just being there than anything.
See, you know? When I go to Raw. Granted, it's Raw, but I go based on who I want to see.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, when we went to SmackDown a couple weeks ago, it was LA Knight. I had never seen LA Knight perform in person, and we got to see that. So
yes,
that was awesome.
Well, I think he was at that last SmackDown they had in Nashville, but he didn't do nearly as much as he did.
He cut a promo,
yeah.
But like this time he cut an actual promo,
he was
had
like
a match.
The feature part of the show this
it was
past
fantastic.
Time, which was great.
All right, well, we'll save reaction stuff for later and do reaction stuff right now. So today, as we are recording this on Wednesday, it was announced that ESPN has acquired rights to WWE PLEs and streaming service rights for their new direct-to-consumer streaming service coming, I think, at the end of the month. What do we think of this? It's going to be, I think, $30 a month, which is insane to me.
Boo!
Will you be purchasing?
No.
No?
I will say right now, I'm either getting a VPN or I will find other services to watch these pay-per-views.
Well, you got to be careful about that because we are on sports radio.
Well, that's true. But I'm not paying $30 a month. Well, here's my, because they haven't completely, I don't think, ruled this out yet. I guess there is a possibility it's just on regular ESPN Plus, and if that's the case, I do have ESPN Plus, so I guess I can just use that. But yeah, I hate this, to be honest, because I miss? I miss the WWE Network. That's what I miss.
The Network!
$9.99. I've seen that GIF of Triple H about 15 times today, and I've liked it every single time. Because I really miss those days.
If it's on regular ESPN Plus, I think I'll just get ESPN Plus.
Yeah, I already have ESPN, so that wouldn't be a problem for me. I mean, the only thing about it, it sucks because I have YouTube TV, but we still have Xfinity for internet. So what's one of the perks of Xfinity, you get Peacock with Xfinity for free. Yeah, so I didn't really have to pay any extra to watch pay-per-views because they're pay-per-views. Premium live events, I hate that.
They're pay-per-views. I call them pay-per-views. Chase got, well, he didn't get on me, but he kept referring to them as, well, you were out last week, premium live events.
Yeah, I saw him. I guess I didn't see him doing that, but I heard him doing that. Yes,
well,
I did.
I'm glad
listen.
You listened.
I did listen.
We
yes.
missed you.
Yes,
I'm glad you're back.
Y'all did a good job last week holding it down. But
holding it down. This is my show, pal. I just let you borrow it.
Whoa! I'm sorry.
have you ever seen Whiplash?
Yes,
ironically, J. Jonah Jameson.
I think I know which scene you're talking about.
He goes, It's my music, or no, what's he saying?
This is my band, or whatever. Yeah.
This is, it's my part, I just decide who to lend it to. That's how this is.
Yeah. I hate it, to be honest. Because like I said, it's a lot more convenient for me with Peacock, because, you know, I didn't really have to pay anything extra for that, because it already came with Xfinity, so it's not like anything was different for me there, and I get why they're doing it from a business standpoint, because it does sound like ESPN's paying them a heck of a lot more money than Peacock was, so I understand why they're doing it from that standpoint. But for a fan, I think this sucks.
Well, this is I think the reason it is $30 a month is because it's not just WWE. You're getting WWE,
right,
but you're getting
sure.
all ESPN, ESPN2. You'll get SEC Network with that. You'll get ESPN Plus. You'll get the NFL Network, which they just acquired.
I didn't even think about that. That's true.
You'll get Red Zone, which I'm not sure how much of Red Zone it's actually going to be. I'm highly doubtful it's going to be what it's supposed to be, and that's seven commercial-free hours of football.
If they put commercials on Red Zone, we riot.
I mean, at least Scott is still doing it, and they're not trying to replace him with, like, some talking head, like, Ian Rappaport or someone like that.
That is true.
It needs to be Scott Hansen, because Scott Hansen is an American hero, and he is the reason we, for the most part, it kind of ended last year, didn't it, with 7 hours of commercial-free football.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like the how, funny enough, wrestling does, where they'll have the match still going on in like a smaller screen, but there's commercials. That's kind of what they did last year, from what I remember.
Which, side tangent, when they do that, I kind of tune out of the match.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
Because they usually do it like with
a lot of
people
times,
I don't care about.
A lot of times with me with SmackDown, I'm working on Friday night, so I end up having to DVR it. I always skip through those parts.
I fast forward through most of it.
Yeah.
Raw this past week, I watched the whole thing.
Oh, it was great.
It was great.
Yeah. Raw was a very good episode.
It was a good show.
Yeah, I'm trying to find where it actually has all the things that are coming on. Because the thing is, like, it does seem like if you don't have, you know, YouTube TV or some type of cable service and all you really care about is sports, this is a great thing to do.
Yeah.
Only pay $30 a month for basically anything you could possibly want for the, you know, for the most part, obviously.
Yeah.
But
like, I live in a household of a family of five. So, I mean, we have a ton of streaming. We got YouTube TV. We have Disney Plus, Peacock, Netflix, Amazon, Paramount, all of that. And I don't handle the financials of that. That's Rick's job. But I can see, for someone who does handle the financials of that, why this would be such a burden.
Yeah.
If I was in charge of that, I would probably cancel a lot of subscriptions. Like, I think I would probably do away with the YouTube TV, because I really only use that for sports.
Yeah.
Because that's where you get live sports. That's,
yep.
We have ESPN on that, and we have the SEC Network. And, you know, when they put games on CBS during football season or ABC or whatever, that's where you get them. If you buy this streaming service, you'll get... I think it comes with the Sunday ticket, actually.
Does it really? Wow, okay. Well, see, the problem ends up being is, like, eventually it all ends up adding up to whatever total price is anyway. That's the main thing I've come to notice when it comes to stuff like this. Like, it eventually all ends up adding up anyway, and half the time you don't even end up saving money anyway,
but
even when you try to.
As far as it goes for wrestling, if you're getting it exclusively for wrestling, is it worth paying $30 a month for two, maybe three PLEs?
I don't think so.
In a month?
I don't think so.
Which are usually about five matches.
No, there's no reason to pay $30 a month for that, in my opinion. I mean,
I'll tell you where they're going to make their money. Is they're going to get it next April when WrestleMania comes by. And they're going to say, this is your exclusive home
of WrestleMania.
Of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And that's where people...
Sorry, I have to show you this to you immediately. For those listening, I just showed Connor a picture of... Triple H doing the pointing picture, and it's Mickey that he's standing next to. So that is hilarious.
Jake Lyman and I were talking about this earlier in the week, as far as it goes for football, but the same can be said for wrestling too. ESPN is trying to monopolize on things that already exist instead of develop their own original content. They've done it with Pat McAfee. They're doing it with Red Zone now and the NFL Network. They're doing it with the WWE. How this should go is just leave it alone. Don't change anything about it. Literally just watermark your ESPN logo on it. That's all you need to do. What I think will happen...
I'd say that's what will happen.
...is the executives will come in and try to change it up and ruin it. That's how Disney works.
I mean, I would hope they wouldn't be stupid enough to do that.
I mean, there are rare cases, like... Pat McAfee, obviously they're not going to air the uncensored version over the air, but if you want that, you can go to ESPN Plus and there's an uncensored
and
version.
And they still got their YouTube stream.
And they have their YouTube stream. And even further, College Game Day has gotten a lot edgier since Pat McAfee has come on air. And Nick Saban. I want that. I don't want, like, I want the occasional S-bomb that Michael Cole will drop like he did the other day when Lesnar came out. I want the, hey, Rock, go bleep yourself. I want the occasional shock value that that brings. Excuse me. Because that's what makes this product so much different. Because you have those hints of the Attitude Era and the PG Era all wrapped into one. It's kind of a combining of audiences, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think the thing that sets those moments apart from, I hate to take a shot at them, but, you know, from someone like AEW, when you do it, when you make it rare enough, then it actually means something. I think WWE gets a good job.
Well, that's the problem. We could spend a whole hour on this. The problem with AEW is they are too edgy. Like, Jon Moxley, for example, is bursting in blood every single match, even if it's just a simple punch to the forehead. And I'm like, come on, man. Or they try to get too ambitious. Like, have you ever seen the video of the the exploding barbed wire match?
Yes, unfortunately.
They count down.
Have you ever seen Cornette's commentary of that match?
No.
It's hilarious.
No. Well, for context, they do an exploding barbed wire match. The ropes are covered in barbed wire, and there's this countdown. The clock hits zero, and it's supposed to be this massive explosion, and it's a couple sparklers and, you know, a few little pyros. The whole crowd boos. It's pretty hysterical if you watch.
Yeah, I have seen that, unfortunately.
But in conclusion, you said you're not buying it.
Nope.
I think I'm going, with the exception of, if it's on ESPN Plus, I will get ESPN Plus. I really want ESPN Plus right now, because that, well, we have SEC Network Plus. Everyone does if you have SEC Network.
Yeah.
That's where you, most of,
which I was able
Kentucky
to,
heads up.
Which a lot of people, I don't think, understand that. I was able to teach you about that. I think we were playing y'all in baseball. You were like, oh, there it is.
Yeah. But, but I want ESPN Plus so I can watch, like, MTSU.
Yeah.
On a regular basis.
Yeah.
Except when they hit, like, Tuesday nights and they're on CBS Sports.
They're basically the main reason I have ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
Is so I can still watch MTSU stuff for the most part. And, you know, obviously I'm a huge college baseball guy, being a Tennessee fan. You know, come college baseball, like, half the tournament's on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, that's true. Unless you have that, what's the thing they did this past year where it was, they showed like four games at once?
Oh, the squeeze play?
Yeah.
I think that's ESPN Plus too. I could be
wrong. Oh, is
it? I honestly don't remember.
Mm.
But I think that was ESPN Plus as well.
Well, regardless.
Yeah.
A lot is changing.
Yes, it is.
The world of streaming and sports, and it affects wrestling. So just wanted to talk about that for a little bit. When we come back, we will do a full reaction, maybe not a full reaction, but there were two major, major things that happened over the weekend at SummerSlam. This is Ring Knowers with Connor Newton and Christian Skelton here on 102.5 The Game.
You're in the Pod Center on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Welcome back to Ring Knowers here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Christian Skelton here with you on this fine day, whatever day you may be listening. This is a podcast, after all. So, sing a little bit with us. What? Yeah, I don't think Nashville needs to hear me obnoxiously singing this song.
We already barked, that's why I didn't
sing.
Yeah,
that's true. Big stuff happening for this guy over the weekend. Maybe one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Money in the Bank cash-ins of all time. In the main event of SummerSlam Night 1, CM Punk defeats the Ring General Gunther in what I thought was a fantastic match. I went back and watched it again because I was watching it here at the station while producing a sounds game, so I didn't get the full scope of everything that happened.
Ah, you were having to help out Jeff.
Yes, I was. Jeff didn't quite understand, but it's a hell of a match.
Oh, yeah, it was. I went back and watched a lot of it, too, because I was, that was in the middle of the rain delay at Bristol, and it was kind of working on streaming, kind of not working. It was kind of in the middle. Like, it was one of those very spotty things where
yeah.
it worked for a little bit, then it wouldn't work. But, yeah, I went back and watched it. It did start working in just in time for me to see Mr. Rollins on the stage, and I got to see the cashing and everything. So
which was
that worked out well.
Brilliantly, brilliantly, brilliantly booked.
I have a theory on this as well.
Well, let me provide context first.
Okay, yes, go ahead.
So the match ends, Rollins' music hits, as you just heard, that was the rejoin. He comes out in crutches. We think, oh, he's just sending a message. He's going to be out for a while because, remember, he's been out with the injury. Turns out it wasn't real. Or if it was, it was greatly, greatly exaggerated, like John Cena in the 2008 Royal Rumble level. He comes out, throws the crutches, hits the stomp, and CM Punk's, what was the final tally? Wasn't it like 5 minutes and 16 seconds?
I believe it was 5:11, which was 6 seconds shorter than Drew McIntyre's reign last year, I'm pretty sure.
It was, that has come to an end. And we also have a name for the faction now, which is great.
The Vision.
Which I think is awesome.
I kind of like that too. I think it's a good name for the faction because a lot of times faction names can sound kind of corny, but considering, you know, he is the Visionary, I think his group being called the Vision makes perfect sense.
It makes sense. And you have the Oracle. I do love that they're calling Braun the Big Dog now. It's kind of funny to me.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious.
And then Bronson is the Tribal Thief because he wears
the Shula Fala.
I saw a meme earlier today that it was just Roman in flip-flops. This is what he's going to come out to next time.
Yeah.
But overall, what did you think of that cash-in?
Well, I'll first present my theory on what I think actually happened with Seth. I think the thing with LA and the quote-unquote injury, I guess we can call it that. I think that was still real. I think he did actually think he hurt himself. It just looked like that. That just looked too much like a real injury for it to not be. But I think he got his MRI. Because remember, we heard he was getting an MRI and everything. I think he got his MRI.
And he went on Rich Eisen and said, yeah, this is a real injury and stuff like that.
Well, see, I think they might have known he was fine after that. Well, he was just selling it then. But I think originally, before the MRI, he thought he had actually been hurt. And then the MRI came back and he was like, well, it looks fine, I guess. And they're like, well, let's make something out of this. And then that's when everything started to get worked, I guess.
Because I remember them saying he went, they had Raw in Birmingham the next Monday.
Right.
And I remember Triple H saying, yeah, he's here in Birmingham getting an MRI. We got worked on this station if that's the case because Mark Henry came on with Chase and Joe and they asked him about it and he said, yeah, he's really hurt. I'm really feeling for that guy. So either Mark Henry got worked or he was working us. There's no in between.
I feel like Mark Henry got worked.
I think it's like you watched Unreal, right?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like the, Chase and I broke this down last week.
Right, yeah, it was great.
It's like the inside inner circle, like only a select few people knew. Like I bet
Seth, Becky, and their daughter.
Well,
according to Seth,
saw that Seth
and her preschool teacher because she told her. Yeah,
but I think it would probably be Triple H. Obviously knows Seth. Obviously knows. I think they roped Paul into it because he does a lot with creative. I think he's kind of like almost an honorary writer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think because he was present a lot in those. I saw him. He was at the writer's table a couple times in the Unreal.
Well, it was for the Triple Threat.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that's true.
Well, they probably put him in and say, hey, Paul, we're going to turn you heel.
Yeah.
Even though Paul Heyman will always be a heel in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
even if he is with a face, like, he's always going to be a heel, in my opinion. Like, even when he was with Roman for a little bit when Roman was a face recently, Paul Heyman was still a heel, in my opinion.
Roman's not a face to me. He's a tweener.
He's one of those tweeners, yeah, for sure.
But Chase and I talked about this last week. Roman is one of those that they'll never turn heel again. Kind of like a Punk. Like, I don't think Punk will ever go full heel again. Cena, obviously.
The only way I could see them turning Punk heel is maybe if they're going towards him and Cody at WrestleMania this year, maybe they do that.
I think Cody would turn heel.
Do you really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I could get into that. Yeah, I don't know though. That feels so far away, but it really isn't when you really think about it.
Well, he's kind of like, not that I'm comparing the two, but he's kind of like Stone Cold in that every time Stone Cold comes back, and even near the end of Stone Cold's career, when you knew his body was just giving out, he wasn't necessarily a heel. He was just a badass and a like he wasn't a face either.
Which I love that.
But he was so over with the crowd, and I mean, he's Stone Cold. He'll always be over. That's kind of what Roman is now. Like, he's so over, and I think not that his character development is done, but he's kind of just perfect for this character he's in right now. Like, the full heel, we've already seen that. We don't really need to see Suffering Succotash again.
No,
so.
we do not need to see that ever again. And I don't think we're going to. I mean, his character he's doing right now is perfect, in my opinion.
Yes.
For what stage in his career he is in.
But back to Seth, I truly think the best cash-ins of all time are both Seth Rollins.
Let's say it's very arguable that the top two of all time is WrestleMania 31 and SummerSlam from a couple days ago. It's
I mean, I liked Dolph, the Raw after Mania.
That was the cool. First one I ever saw live.
Yeah.
So that's
Dean
that's, that
will always be special to me.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Is that? I mean,
all three members held the title at one point,
which I didn't realize as a kid, and then as an adult now, you kind of do. You're like, wow, that's pretty special looking back.
Oh yeah, for sure. That was probably a very special night for all three of them. And Dean and Dolph are definitely both up there though. But yeah, I mean, the two Seth ones, those are hard to beat.
Yeah,
I think the one everybody kind of saw it coming. Well, I don't know if they saw it coming. Everybody kind of thought, okay, this might happen. Seth might be working us here. But I don't think anybody actually believed it until it actually happened. And then it actually happened and the roof blew off. So,
well, even when he came out, I was like, oh, he's just sending us a message. He's very clearly still hurt.
Yeah.
I told my dad this. I wonder if he was just walking around backstage hobbling like that, trying to sell everyone in the locker room so they would think like, oh, he's just here supporting everyone backstage and stuff.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, how many people truly got worked on this.
Like, within the locker room.
Yeah.
But I think the aftermath is worth it. Because Raw, you had Knight, who was finally getting pushed.
Thank God.
To the main event scene.
Who we were all like, LA Knight is missing. Please help us find him. And he says, oh, I was just on vacation.
I took it off and I turned on SummerSlam and there you were.
I was like, wow, he's not hurt.
I mean, the Punk feud isn't going away until WrestleMania. That'll be your night one main event.
You think so?
Yeah. And I think Punk will take it off.
A lot of people are going to be pissed if it's not Roman and Seth. But I want them to save that for the Indianapolis WrestleMania, because that's where the Shield.
That's
pretty sure
the
Shield
place.
Started there. The Shield ended there. I think they might have reunited there too.
Well, they have
like
the Shield Corner. That's what it's called.
Yeah,
in that arena.
Yeah.
But yeah, I truly think that's going to be your main event. But I think they're trending towards a fatal four way, and that's with Seth, Punk, LA Knight, Roman Reigns.
Oh, for Seth's title in Paris,
which
I would
fantastic. You know, Seth's going to retain because
he's
got the Vision, which we can call him now.
Yes, we can
involved.
Call him the Vision now.
I was just calling him the Bronze because it's funny.
I am interested to see, does this end up leading us down a road of like maybe at War Games?
War Games!
Seth ends up having a team of, you know, mostly his guys, and then maybe, you know, the other team probably Punk, Roman,
Drew
Sammy,
McIntyre.
Maybe.
No, he would be on Seth's team.
Oh, on Seth's team, yeah. Could that end up with Cena on the good guys team?
Are they doing War Games this year?
I'm pretty sure they're still doing War Games.
Because it's in San Diego.
The Padres.
In Petco Park. But I don't think it's advertised as War Games.
See images. Oh nope, there it is. Survivor Series War Games.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yep. I'm fine with War Games. I love War Games. I think it's awesome.
I like War Games too.
You're never gonna top the 2023 match. First off, it was an incredible match, but what that one entailed was Randy came back and then CM Punk came back. So
That was one of the best pay per views.
You'll never top that.
Ever.
Yeah. But it's just so unique, and you only get it once a year. So. Might as well keep it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's no reason to get rid of it. It's a once-a-year thing, like you said. I mean, I don't have a problem with it just because of that. And I've kind of grown to liking the War Games matches. I just feel like they're, especially the women, I do feel bad for them because I feel like it's kind of hard to like build the storylines out to where it's actually
something.
It's like, why would they team up?
You know? Like last year's was just jumbled together.
Oh, what, like it was like, big time.
Okay, yeah. We got the Rhea and Liv Morgan storyline and we're just going to throw in a bunch of like Tiffany and Nia Jax. They got a thing going. We'll put them in there. Who was it? Io Sky. She's fun to watch. Let's put her in there. So it was just kind of thrown together. But the men, there's always a good build to it.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I don't have a problem with it. Cena is on the poster, so.
Oh, he's working. I think he's advertised for that.
He'll definitely be there. Gosh, that's going to be like
we got
3 weeks before he retires.
We got 12 more dates with him.
That's insane.
Speaking of John Cena, let's discuss his match with Cody Rhodes coming up next on Ring Knowers 102.5 The Game.
You're in the Pod Center on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beast Incarnate has returned. Welcome back to Ring Knowers here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Christian Skelton here with you. Let's talk about this. First, let's talk about the match, because that is easily match of the year, in my opinion. It's between two. That one and the triple threat between Seth, Roman, and Punk.
I think what you saw in that match was them taking extremely personally how disappointing their WrestleMania match was. And they were just like, you know what? We need to make up for that and then some. And that's exactly what they did.
I think Triple H said, go out there. We'll give you however much time you need. And they went like an hour.
Yeah, it was incredible.
And it had so many fun. You had Cena with the AA through the table. You had Cena coming up the elevator, like,
which was so random,
like Superman.
I saw somebody saying the way his face worked, they were like, oh no, did he turn heel again?
But he absolutely turned back the clock. Like, he looked like Super Cena, and the crowd let you know by their Super
which was
Cena chants.
Incredible.
But he just looked so happy. He just looked so much more energized. And maybe that's a character thing, because that interview he did like 10 years ago where he was like, if I turn heel, I will give up. I'll stop hustling. And he'll just stop trying.
Yeah.
He's like, I won't care. I won't show up
I
as
won't
much.
Work as hard. Yeah. All that stuff.
And maybe that is a character thing. But I mean, that was just the Cena we all know. Interacting with the crowd. Right as the bell rang, they did their Hogan and Rock look around the crowd. The whole crowd was split. Cody got some heat, too, which was awesome.
At the very beginning when they introduced him, the challenger, boo! Like, the whole stadium was booing him. I was like, good grief.
But that match was just, I mean, they do the look around, Cena hugs him, and I think that was pretty authentic, too, where he says, I love you, let's do this, and then they just start beating the hell out of each other, like Sammy and Kevin Owens used to do.
That's like, I've heard a story of one of the Rock and Austin's like WrestleMania match. I think Rock, it's completely different, but I think the Rock tells him, he's like, yeah, you know, we were just sitting there, and I was like, man, I love you, man. Let's do this. And apparently it's Steve, which is like, shut up. He starts beating the crap out of him.
Yeah, Chase and I talked about that last week. That was WrestleMania 19.
Yeah, okay, that was the last match? Okay. I couldn't remember what match that was from, but yeah.
The storytelling, you had, I mean, we talked about it during the break, but they kind of just threw away the whole heel thing. Like, yeah, this didn't work. Which I
respected that so much.
I respect it. Yeah. I didn't actually hate the heel run. I thought it had its moments.
I liked it.
It was just so
when
different.
It first happened. And like you said, it had good moments. But overall, I would definitely not say it was a success.
But
I'd probably give it, if I was to grade his heel run, I would probably give it a,
I'd say B-.
C+.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
It was just kind of eh.
When it really hit for me, though, was, you know, his entrance.
Oh, that was incredible.
The lights were off. You have just the blank John Cena.
That we've
thinking,
had.
You get nothing!
Yeah.
And then the lights kick on. And I'm like, oh.
There it is.
Face Cena's
massive
back.
Pop.
He was talking to Stu. He was running.
And I hate to say this, but you know what it really did? It really just was, I was just sitting there like, why did we do this?
Are we stupid?
I was like, we
why did we want
I was
this?
Like, we could have had 6 more months of this than we're going to get, and we just completely threw it away. And I feel like it would have been such a bigger pop and so much more gratifying if Cena won 17 as a face. You know, maybe it takes all the way till October to do that. You know, who knows? Maybe he's got a... I don't know. I just feel like it probably could have... I mean, hindsight's always 20/20, of course. But I don't know. I feel like it definitely could have been booked better now. But hey, what's happened's happened. We just got to enjoy the time we got left with face Cena. But yeah, that it was his best match in years by far.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, he literally looked like it was like 2012 John Cena.
I mean, it was super Cena at his finest. And he was exhausted afterwards. Like, he could barely stand.
Yeah.
Poor guy. On the other side.
It was also super Cody, though, for sure.
Yeah, I was about to say. On the other side, Cody Rhodes wins back the championship. Do you like that decision? Do you not like it? What do you think?
Well, as, you know, the 10-year-old kid in me was watching that match, I was definitely disappointed when Cody won. But then the 21-year-old adult comes back, and I'm like, okay, that's the right decision.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, you only got so much amount of time left with John. There's only so much he can do, not only just with Cody, but also with the title. And I feel like if you're going to do stuff with Cody, it mostly has to involve the title.
Yeah.
And, like, Cody's got to get the title back eventually somehow. Personally, this is just me, I would have rather CM Punk took the title off John and then maybe Cody get the title back from CM Punk at WrestleMania next year. I think I've said that before on this show. Yeah. That was my ideal scenario. But I don't mind this at all because I love Cody still anyway. But, Dad, it was crazy. Like, the yay boo spot, the whole crowd, it felt like, was just booing Cody. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is insane.
I don't think it was boo, we hate Cody. I think it's,
no,
yeah, we love John.
It was boo, we love John. That's exactly what it was. And I'm not going to lie. One thing that did make me laugh from the Unreal thing, he was like, well, you know, they were booing Cody, but I could tell they didn't want him to lose. And I was like, yes, they did. What are you talking about, John? We did want him to lose. We wanted you to win. That just made me laugh. I was like, what are you talking about?
I'd like to say I walked away feeling disappointed because, you know, Chase and I talked about it last week. We both wanted The Rock. But as you told me, his new theme song is Morgan Wallen, I Ain't Coming Back.
No.
I wanted to see a Cody heel turn. I thought we were going to get that with two faces. But looking on it now, it's really just a passing of the torch moment.
Yeah, and I think it's proof. Because from what I've seen from Hunter, he does not like the face versus face thing very much. This should be proof to him for the rest of the time he's doing this that it works.
It works in some capacity.
Yeah.
I don't think you can book a full, like, three-match feud off of it.
No, definitely not. I will agree with that. But, like, for instance, if you end up doing Punk and Cody at WrestleMania next year, like, you don't have to turn Punk completely heel for that. I mean, we saw they did that promo right before the Rumble this past year. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, and he wasn't completely heel, obviously. Like, you can just have those two face off like that, and it'd be
competitive
perfect.
Rivalry.
Yeah, yeah. That's what draws you in, you know? And I texted you this. As soon as the face turn, which was completely out of nowhere, happened on Friday, I was like, my interest for that match went from like 20% to like 100% as soon as that happened. Because
quickly became the most anticipated match.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Because a lot of these kids don't know, their Cody Rhodes right now was our John Cena.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when we were kids, that was our guy.
And I was like, okay, so actual, I kind of hated this term, but actual big match John, as JBL used to say, was coming back. And then I was like, okay, now I'm very excited for this.
Big match John, maybe. Now, I am kind of not disappointed. I'm actually shocked at what happened after the match. We played his music coming back. Brock is back. And it's really taught me that Twitter is a completely different world from actual real life.
It's incredible.
Because everyone on Twitter hates it, and you and I both love it. So,
yeah, it was funny, too, seeing, like, I saw one person tweeting something like, nobody wanted this dude back. And I was like, yeah, the huge pop he got.
That
totally
and
proved that.
Go look at the ratio on Twitter, I think. Or not Twitter, YouTube.
Let me see what that's up to now.
Last I looked, only like 6.7% of people disliked that video.
Brock Lesnar.
And it is right now the most viewed video to come from SummerSlam in history. So I'm excited for Cena versus Brock.
110,000 likes, 8,000 dislikes.
8,000.
So
the vocal minority.
That is a pretty big difference there.
The vocal minority. I am very excited for Cena and Brock. I think... When's the next pay-per-view? What is it? Is it Crown Jewel? is next in France.
No, Paris is next.
Oh, you're right.
And then Crown Jewel.
But I don't think Cena's...
There's Perth, too, somewhere in here, too.
Oh, Crown Jewel's in Perth.
It is in Perth. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So
Clash in Paris is in France.
So I guess the next three is Clash.
I don't think he's working Clash, though. I think he's working Crown Jewel.
Is he not?
And Survivor Series. And then he'll have his last match probably on a Saturday night main event in Boston.
And that's going to piss me off. But
they're going to cut his retirement speech off. We have a hard out. Jimmy
Clash in Paris on the tickets and promotional poster on WWE.com. John Cena is on it.
Oh.
So
there you go.
It looks like we might get John versus Brock in Paris. Yeah, Future Superstars. He's the first one, John Cena. So that I'd go ahead and get it out of the way then. Because
yeah.
I love Brock Lesnar, and like I'm very excited to see him back. I don't want to see more than one match of this, to be honest.
No.
Because
I want to see Brock against other people.
Now, let me ask you this. Would you rather see, if you could pick one, would you rather see John win again and get 18 in these next 4 months, whether it be WWE or world title? Or would you rather him see win the IC title and complete the Grand Slam?
Grand Slam.
That's what I'd rather see.
I've already seen him win his world title. Now, realistically, I don't think he's holding another title in WWE. I think he's done.
Yeah.
And I kind of think he doesn't need to.
He really doesn't, no.
Because
I think it'd just be cool.
If he did, what would probably end up happening is he would go down on his back in his last match and put whoever wins the title off of him over. I think he'll go over anyway, or he'll put someone over anyway because that's how loyal he is to the business. But that's just how I think it would go.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the main guys I still want to see him wrestle at some point. Well, honestly, the main ones, I'd still like to see AJ at some point.
Yes, that's my number one.
And then
I want to see him and Braun.
Braun would be good.
I think that should be his last match.
It'd be Braun, AJ, Drew, and then Roman, too. It's if you could work that in there. I don't know if they're going to be able to, but if you could work that in somehow, I think that'd be really cool.
I'll throw one more at you just for a wild card standpoint because I think he could hold his own. Not that I like him, but he's a fantastic wrestler. Logan Paul.
Yeah, I think that would be a good match, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. As much as we want to hate him.
See, here's the difference, though. I think we hate Logan Paul as a character. Everybody else hates him as a person. So you might hate him as both. I don't know.
I hate him as a person.
Okay, well, that's fair.
But we don't judge people based on personality. We don't know on this show, so...
That's fair.
As a former colleague used to say, nobody gets in trouble for something they haven't done yet.
That's true. And that's exactly...
And Logan has done nothing personally to me, so he's not in trouble.
Unlike the Street Profits.
Yes. I told Chase about that last week.
Yes, I heard.
He was like, well...
He's like, that was probably my fault.
It was actually my fault. Yeah. I was like, well, I still carry the hatred. I was actively rooting against them on Sunday.
Oh, I know we're running out of time, but we got to at least give them a shout out. Holy crap, what a match.
What a fantastic
match. That was incredible. And I knew it would be. I mean, I still cannot wrap my head around how New Day and Viking Raiders, whatever the heck their name was on WrestleMania, and none of the SmackDown teams were. And it's still crazy to me how much better the SmackDown tag division is compared to the Raw.
Can I give you my minor nitpick of that match?
Yes.
Wrong winner. They didn't do anything.
Who would you have rather had win?
Who would I have rather had win?
Yeah. Because I understand, but I don't know who I would have rather had win is what I'm asking. I kind of agree with you, but I don't know who I would have picked to win that match.
That's a tough question. Honestly, Fraxium held their own in that.
They really did.
They were awesome.
Yeah.
I would say DUI. As I have informed Chase, that's what we call them now. He's in on it. But I feel like they just had it. So maybe not wrong winner, but what memorable spot in that match did those two do?
Nothing
really.
Because
nothing.
To be fair, I think that's kind of what they were going for almost because I think kind of the point of that match was, all the other teams just beat each other up and the Wyatts are just like, here we go. Thanks for beating each other up. I think that was kind of the point.
They should have called it the SEC match.
It really, that's exactly right. That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Yeah. I think that was kind of the point, but I do understand why you were a little disappointed.
Yeah. But I'm just not a big Wyatt Six guy.
Yeah.
I appreciate what they're doing, and that's you know, remembering Bray and carrying on his legacy, but they haven't really done anything that stands out to me, except for their return, which was awesome.
Oh, that was sick, yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah.
Like, since then, it's been, hey, the lights come out, here we are.
Yeah, they could definitely use some...
Now, I think
I don't know what I'm trying
to
say.
I think we're trending towards the direction of...
Something new, I guess.
Alexa Bliss is going to join that faction at some point.
I would like that, for sure. Shout out to them for one of the tag titles. That was good. That was a really good match.
I love them.
Yeah, that was a very good match, and with the right winners, for sure.
Yes.
I think that's one of the more compelling things.
I think most
right now.
Matches in the pay-per-view had the right winners.
Yeah.
I think Dom was the right winner. Which was a sneaky good match, by the way.
That was a good match. I was kind of rooting for AJ, but it seems like they're going to run that back in Paris again, which... and if that's the case, that they will blow the roof off that place if he beats Dom.
The term hot take is banned on this station, so I will say bold take.
Okay.
I thought Solo was the right winner.
Really?
Despite it
I
being
was very
an
disappointed
awful match.
Yeah, I was very confused as the fact that Jacob did not win, but
Naomi was the right winner.
I agree.
I think Tiffany was the right winner.
Yep, that was very short for some reason.
Yeah.
But yes,
Punk was the right winner. Seth was the even more right winner. Cody was the right winner. Who am I missing here?
Roman and Jay, obviously.
Roman and Jay were the right winners.
Shout out to Jelly Roll for taking the pin and asking to take the pin.
I'm split on that one, but the way it went down in Jelly Roll taking the pin and understanding the business,
yeah,
hats off to that guy.
Because
we need to get him on here one day.
Because realistically, he probably thinks to himself, "Hey, you know what? It's me. It's Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul against Randy Orton and me." Like, it's probably what he thought to himself. Yeah. Why are we gonna win?
I guarantee you, if we were to ask him and the time was right, he would come on here with us.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
He's too nice to say no.
Yeah, I think
And we'll
he
take
would.
Advantage of his kindness.
Yes.
And manipulate it and...
make him turn heel.
And make him turn heel.
I want his soul.
But, yeah, man.
SummerSlam was much better than WrestleMania, in my opinion.
Got anything else you want to talk about? We got, like, 3 minutes.
Well, we were disappointed that LA was left off the card, but we were made up for it with the world title match last night. Well, I guess that would have been 2 nights ago now. It was Monday night whenever you're listening to this, but I think things are going to end up working out for him. Like, I do think as long as he stays in this title picture, he will get his moment eventually. Because here's my thing.
Because good things come to those who wait.
Patience. Because here's my thing. There's no way they can defend putting the title on Jey Uso and not putting it on LA Knight. Like, it makes no sense.
Right.
And in my opinion, you know, a lot of people probably say, oh, well, LA Knight is just Jey Uso. All they have is a catchphrase. Yeah, but the difference is...
one can actually wrestle?
Yes. Which, you know what? I have to give props where it's due. I thought he actually did good the other night. Jey did. That was the best spear I've ever seen him hit. I don't remember if he hit it on Braun or Bronson, but that was the best spear I've ever seen him hit. I was like, wow, okay, good job, Jay.
Well, that is a good spear from Jay.
yes, it was.
I was trying to figure out the best way to wrap this up, and then I realized, you know, I don't have a plan, so I'm just going to go in.
It's okay. We have to go off script.
Sometimes going off script is the best way to get the right finish.
Yes.
That's advice for life.
Yes.
And everything.
Go off script, folks.
Well, sir, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
You didn't have to come in today, so thank you.
It's okay. It's an honor.
Let's just profess our love for each other on the
airwaves
right now.
Well, this is getting weird.
That'll do it for us here for Christian Skelton. I am Connor Newt. Make sure you subscribe to the Pod Center of a podcast. This is Ring Knowers, of course, but my other colleagues have good podcasts as well. The Air Raid with Parker Kelly, Talking Calcio with Nick Frazier, and of course, the Tribal Chief would probably fire me if I didn't mention Chasing Checkers.
Yes.
But as far as us, this is your wrestling podcast, Ring Knowers, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Ch-
Check out all of our podcasts at thegamenashville.com or find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and all other major podcast platforms.